This podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
We've got a special edition of the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast. I'm Dom Savino, here not to talk about the most recent Rutgers wins, but to reflect on a historic year for one of Rutgers' highest performing programs. That is Rutgers rowing. And on Friday, as part of a full weekend of homecoming festivities, the Scarlet Knights will ring the bells of Old Queens. It's a whole ceremony to honor the achievements Rutgers rowing had last season, the spring and summer of 2025. There were so many accomplishments. Here are the three you need to know. Second place at the Big Ten Championships, the best finish in program history. A top 10 team finish at the National Championships, plus a fifth place finish for the Varsity 4 boat that was the best finish by a Rutgers boat in program history. And best of all, competing at one of the oldest and most prestigious events in the entire sport of rowing, the Henley Royal Regatta in England. Rutgers made a statement in the college competition, surviving a bracket of 43 boats from universities around the world to hoist the Island Challenge Cup. So needless to say, there is plenty to celebrate and great reason for those bells to ring again. On this episode, we'll hear all about Rutgers' historic season. Two rowers who hoisted that trophy will join us in a little bit. But first, let's catch up with the head coach of Rutgers rowing, Justin Price. Starting in the spring, how did you get this program to one of the best seasons you've ever had, and what's been a great run for this program lately?
Last year was an awesome year. It was a lot of fun, and it had been a long time in the making. So it was our 50th year of our program's history. So starting off with the first athletes that started the program and helped set the stage way back in 1974. It's not lost on us that this wouldn't have been done without a lot of work from everybody in the 50 years preceding it. And it was a heck of a way for us and a great opportunity to celebrate 50 years of women's rowing here on the banks to be able to have a really strong season. So that's something that we actually talked about last fall when we had a lot of our alumni back to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the program, just wanting to make sure that we made everybody really, really proud and had a season to remember. We had a donor that stepped up and would fund our trip to go over to England for the first time. So there was just a lot of special moments. It was really a special year. So I think from the beginning, it was impactful for our athletes to be able to hear from some of the alums and understand like some of those people that have come before us and the work that had gone in to helping to build the program. And then everyone was really excited to put that work to task and get out there and represent on the race course all spring long and into the summer.
You mentioned a bunch of big things there. Let's go back to the spring, because I just want to encapsulate the success you had in your traditional college season, right? The program's best ever finishes at Big Tens and at NCAAs with eighth. I feel like a lot of Rutgers fans see the success your program has, but maybe don't see it at the boat level or even the athlete-by-athlete level. Who were the highlight performers? What were the big boats that carried you to the record season last year?
Yeah, well, one thing about our sport, it's definitely a team sport, and that's really special. So at the Big Ten Championships, we have 51 athletes that race and score points. And for us, those are our starters. We have 51 starters on our team. So there's individual boats. We race eights and fours. So our top scoring boat at the Big Ten Championships is our first eight. Our second eight scores the next most points. And then our four scores the next most. And those are the three boats that also qualify us to help us race at the NCAA Championships, and those are the three point scoring boats that race at the NCAA Championships. So we had a lot of standout performances from a lot of our boats. All of our boats, all seven of our boats, and all 51 of our starters earned a medal at the Big Ten Championships. So that was really special. And the NCAA boats all season long did some really great things, had some big wins against ranked opponents throughout the season. Obviously, did enough to qualify us as an at-large selection to the NCAA Championships, and then performed well enough at the NCAA Championships to earn a top 10 finish. So there was a lot of great performances, but I think that the whole team did a really great job. And I think in particular at the end of the season at the NCAA Championships, our four was able to make it into the A final to be racing on the last day for a national championship, which is where we want to be. And they ultimately came fifth and finished fifth in the country. So that was something that was really special. But the most exciting thing was they were in it on the last day. So when the final race of the season happened in that event, that we were one of six boats that had a chance to compete for the national title, which was special and something we want to make sure we can do more of in the seasons to come.
No doubt about it. And it's interesting because if the story ended right there, there'd be plenty to talk about. One of the best seasons this program's ever had in a year that's so monumental, right? The 50th anniversary of the program. But the story just picks up from there because this past offseason over the summer, Rutgers not only participated in, but what ended up being the headliners at the Henley Royal Regatta, which is the reason why we're having this chat today. A competition in England involving the River Thames, one of the most iconic bodies of water, I think, in the world. Tell Rutgers Nation about this. What was the Henley Royal Regatta, and how did you even get involved in this?
Sure. Well, there's certainly a lot of history in our sport, so I think that's one thing that I'd love to share with everybody so that they get to know our team better and understand our sport. So, you know, we're really proud that rowing here, it was men's rowing originally, but men's rowing was the first sport here at Rutgers, even before football started back in 1864 is when we started with rowing on the banks for the first time. And it was the first intercollegiate sport in America. So the first time two universities ever competed against each other in any sport was in the sport of rowing in 1852. And there's even more history when we go across the pond over to England, which we got the opportunity this past summer to go, where the Henley Royal Regatta, which is one of the oldest, if not the oldest rowing race in history, dating back to 1839, started. So there's just, again, a lot of history and tradition in our sport here at Rutgers, and then obviously abroad and internationally. So the opportunity to bring our team for the first time in our 50-year history to compete at the oldest, most prestigious rowing regatta in the world was really, really special. And thanks to our donors, we got the support that we needed to do that. And our team was really, really excited that we had that opportunity. And they prepared really well to make sure that we represented our team, our program, and Rutgers brand at an elite level internationally.
Yeah, let's give some shout outs here, because you have to obviously be talented enough to even be considered, and then you need the support back home, I know, to get over there. Was it the success at Big Tens and NCAAs that got you there? Who were the donors that helped really drive the boat, I guess, so to speak, to get you over there to London?
Yeah. So there were a number of donors that helped fund the trip. There was one in particular. His name is Fred Cow, and he really stepped up in a big way because he's excited about the success we've had in the past. And so that was something that back last fall that he was really excited about some of the things we had done as a program, and really thought we were a program that was worth investing in from a competitive standpoint and a program that could win. And he was really excited by that because he's a great Rutgers athletic supporter and alum. And so he stepped up and said, hey, how can I help? And, you know, would love to invest in the program. And so he made it possible. So we knew from back in the fall that it was something that we were going to have the opportunity to do. So then we just needed to be prepared, and everybody was excited. And we got to work on the plans because it's something that I had never, you know, taken a team over. A lot of our athletes had never been over. So it was a sort of new frontier for us.
A lot of planning, I imagine, goes into a competition like this. 50-something starters, you've got a whole coaching staff. And most importantly, you've got to be able to compete in the event. I have family members and some friends who are big into golf. And I know for them, getting a dozen iron sticks on a plane is a challenge. How did you get a bunch of boats from Piscataway to the River Thames to compete in this event?
Sure. There was a lot of planning. You know, fortunately, we didn't have to worry about transporting our equipment overseas. We worked with our boat manufacturer to just basically, we rented boats. So we brought 2/8 worth of athletes over there to compete. So we had 2 entries in the Island Challenge Cup. So we just rented the boat and the oars over there, which was great. And to make sure that we had the highest standard equipment and the same caliber or standard of equipment that we would race back home here in the U.S. We were able to rent over there, which made it really easy and really comfortable and familiar. And then getting a chance a few days before, we would obviously to acclimate to the time change and the different waterway and everything about being in a different location for the first time. We were able to get over there and get in the new boats and prepare, do some good training sessions before the racing started, which was good.
I imagined you taking up like the entirety of the carry-on space, like one boat at a time. So that probably makes a lot more sense just renting it out.
It was a lot, yeah, logistically a little easier than that. Thankfully, yeah. We didn't have to worry about getting those things on the plane.
Good. No angry flight attendants. I'm happy to hear. Well, once you got there, all the athletes and all the boats, you had so much success. And as I mentioned, it culminated with Rutgers capturing the Island Challenge Cup. Take me into the results, Coach. What did it look like? And how were you able to hoist the cup at the end of it?
Sure. Well, we had two boats entered. There were 44 entries, and we had two of those entries. Based on the performances during our regular season, the stewards of the regatta selected our top entry to go straight through, which means they did not have to qualify. But our second entry, our B entry, needed to qualify. There were a number of crews that had to race the Friday before the event started, but only the top 11 or so made it through to the actual event. So most of the 44 entries didn't even actually qualify for the race because they didn't make it through the qualifying. So our B entry had to qualify. They did a great job in the qualifying race, earned a spot in the knockout round. And so one of the things that's different and unique about the racing at Henley is that it's side by side. So very similar to, you know, March Madness or some of the other sports that have a knockout the style one-on-one tournament, that's Henley, which we don't usually have in our sport. Usually we're racing more like swimming, you know, six lanes or even eight lanes across in some cases for a championship. This is side-by-side knockout style tournament that we are not usually accustomed to. So we had to qualify our B entry to get into it. And then we had both boats in the field. And then we started racing the sort of second week we were there. There was even some boats that got a bye. We were not one of those. So I think that gave us a little bit of a chip on our shoulder that there were eight entries that were selected to have a bye in the first round. And I think that we sort of, you know, took note that we were not one of those. But as we said, you know, it didn't, that's not going to stop us from being really, really competitive. So both of our boats in the first round of racing were able to be victorious by a pretty large margin, which was good. So we started with a bang, and I think made a big statement as a team right away that both our A and B entries were able to win by significant open water. So the races weren't close is what that means. And then as we went into this sort of the second round, our B entry had an A entry from a top team that ended up making it pretty far. And we raced them very close within about 3 seconds. It was one boat length, and it was hard fought race all the way down, but they were unfortunately eliminated. But we're really proud that it was our B boat that took an A boat all the way to the line. And that A boat from Durham University was a boat that our top boat would see later on in the regatta. So we like to think that we helped tire them out in that race with our B entry, so that our B entry helped really contribute to the win from our A boat. And our A boat was able to win all five of their races and get to the Sunday and race for the championship against Newcastle University, which was really special. One of the things about Henley, because it's knockout style, you start with the boat tents of all the events, and there's all the boats from all of the entries, and you start with qualifying. And
they're from all over the world, too. I was looking through the results. I mean, you've got plenty of England and the U.S., a few major competitors, Rutgers included, but all over the rest of the world, too, you've got some boats.
Yeah, it's a great international celebration of rowing. You're right. There's a lot of crews from all over Europe, like crews from as far away as Australia, New Zealand. And so you start off and there's all these boats that are there in the boat tents. And then once you're eliminated, you got to get your boat out of the boat tent. So it's kind of a fun challenge as you go through the week. You know, you start to see visually each day when you come for your racing, like there's fewer and fewer boats there. So that was something that I think our team had a lot of fun with and was really special to be able to be there on the last day when there's only two boats in each event left in the finals. You know, you're among the elite, and that made it just really special, really fun. Our team did an incredible job. Really raced really hard, was able to get ahead fairly early on in the race, and just continued to pull away. And the race by the end was not close. Our boat not just won the race, but they set the course record by over 8 seconds, which was was really special.
Wow. Save the best for the last event of the entire season, starting from back in the fall. That's pretty cool. So as you mentioned, you beat the top team from Newcastle University by 3 lengths to win the Island Challenge Cup. What was that moment like for you as a head coach of this program and for the group, for the team, to see that happen in that setting and win such a historic event?
Yeah, it was incredibly special. I'm just so proud of the 9 athletes in that boat to be able to watch them do that. You know, my feelings watching that were just how proud of them that I was, not just for how they performed in that moment on that day, but their preparation, how hard they worked all season long, but especially in there's a month between the NCAA championships and that race that they really put their heads down, very focused, very motivated, worked very hard, were very consistent, and were very clearly driven. So for me to watch that every day in the month leading up to that, as I did all season long, and then to see them earn the reward that they earned for themselves with such a big win was just really, really special. And I couldn't have been more proud.
And now you get the payoff back on campus, which is a full-on celebration highlighted by ringing the bells of Old Queens, the actual bells that we sing and talk about at Rutgers University all the time. Tell me the excitement that you've got, that the program has to be involved in a really rare experience like that.
Yeah, well, another first for our program. So that's, again, something that's not lost on us, how special and how meaningful this is in general, as members of our university community, and the history that it's made for our program to be able to do that for the first time in women's rowing history here. So that's incredibly special. And we just feel really well supported. I think that you know, the recognition from the university in general, from the athletic department, that really everybody understanding sort of what kind of achievement this was, what this means, it's been incredible. So we're honored to have the opportunity. I know all the athletes are honored to have the opportunity to be able to do this and understand how special it is. And Fred Cow, who is the donor that helped help make the trip possible, will be able to join us for that celebration as well, which is going to be extra special.
Really cool. And all of it sort of as part of the homecoming celebrations that will happen later this week on campus too, which is really cool. I imagine that something like this helps springboard you into what I'll call next season, but is really this season as well, right? Your major competitions happen in the spring, so spring of 2026, but you've already kicked off the fall season with some of the competitions that will get your team ready to go. How does this lead you into the next year and get this program even more on the national stage and even better at some of these competitions that you feature at every year now?
It's always good to have momentum. You know, I
sure.
think that, you know, we want to constantly be building and improving. And I think that we're doing that in a big way. I think our athletes feel that, but they're the ones that are creating it, you know? So I think that there's certainly a lot of momentum that's been created and there's momentum that's building every single day in our training environment with our team. Obviously we have a lot of returning athletes, both from the Henley group and from our squad from last year. We also have a number of newcomers that have come in and added quite a lot of enthusiasm, excitement, and hard work that's going to help continue to build momentum and build our team. So yeah, we've got a great group this year, and we want to continue to make a statement, make an impact, and make sure we can make everybody, all of our alums, everybody associated with Rutgers Athletics, incredibly proud. And you know, we want to be a team that can win at a really high level, the highest level, whether that's in the Big Ten championships or at the NCAA. I think we've got a group that can do it, and they're motivated.
Well, you've already made Rutgers plenty proud, and great to get the full recap from you. Appreciate some time. Justin Price, head coach of Rutgers Rowing, which is definitely on the map for Rutgers fans. Justin, thanks for some time. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Dom. Appreciate it.
So we turn from the skipper, if you will, of Rutgers Rowing to the athletes who ultimately got the job done. Junior Elena Moran and sophomore Beatrice Kolkloff were two of the 9 athletes who were in the boat on the River Thames on that fateful day, where Rutgers was a champion at one of the oldest regattas in rowing history. I caught up with Elena and Beatrice to talk about the significance of it all. Beatrice, I'll start with you, especially as somebody who's from England. What did it mean to be able to row at Henley?
It means a lot. That was my 4th Henley now. I raced with my high school there previously, but to be able to go over with Rutgers and have my family watch me race with Rutgers, which for some of them will be the only time they get to watch me with the R on my chest, was really special to me and definitely a unique time.
Elena, for you too, as I was just talking about, I mean, there were some boats from Australia in this competition. an international group of competitors and Rutgers comes out on top. What was it like to be a part of the whole thing?
Yeah, it was honestly unreal. Ever since I started rowing, it was a dream of mine to just experience Henley and even just go and be a viewer and just get the experience of what it was like, knowing that it was so historic and so famous, and having the opportunity to race and win was just something that still gives me goosebumps. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And knowing that there were other Australian crews there of people that I've known and have raced with before, it was really special as well. So having some even supporters from back home was really special.
And you were two of the nine Scarlet Knights who were in that boat that ended up winning the championship at the end and hoisted the Island Challenge Cup. What was that moment like head to head with Newcastle University, where you know there's a trophy and history on the line?
For me, I remember sitting on the start line and Alana, our cox, was sat there talking to us. You know, it's very internal in our boat. We can only control what we can do. And to be going down that race together, and, you know, as we're coming down, there's boards on the side that show your position between the two boats. So being able to know as we're encroaching into the stewards area and the finish line that this is something we could do and we were going to make history for the program, and as an American university going over into the UK to be able to do this. And there's a photo, Ollie and I were a pair together in the middle of the boat. And I distinctly remember just realizing we'd won and we'd done it. And there's a photo of us leaning back and hugging each other. And it's just such a moment that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Alana, do you remember that moment? What was that
Oh
like?
my God, so clearly. Like we crossed the finish line and it was like, oh my God, we've done it. It honestly, like, I just, where everyone's slapping the water, there's just the emotions are so high, and just having my teammates there, there's not eight people that I trust so much. The whole week I was just thinking, like, if anyone's gonna do it, it's gonna be us. And I was just so grateful to be a part of that and have Beatrice as well by my side. Like, we just got so close during the week.
For sure. It must have been, as you were saying, it must have been an incredible trip, right? I mean, just the fact that you're overseas competing and you're in one of the best cities in the world, right? You're in London. Alana, I'll start with you. What was the whole trip like? What was your favorite story, whether it was on the water or off of it?
Probably my favorite story, my favorite part of the racing would be there was one day before we started racing that we did a kind of like broadcasting testing race, and it was just the Rutgers A boat and the Rutgers B boat. It didn't mean anything. It was like 30 strokes off the start line. We were just doing it for the broadcasting test. And but for some reason, like that start, I remember sitting on the start line looking across and seeing another boat actually be there because we had just been training and it had just been us by ourselves the whole week leading up to it. And I just thought, wow, this is actually real. Like we're really here. And it really fully set in that we were doing this and we were here to win, to do what we knew we could do and just dominate as best we could. And it was a really special feeling.
Beatrice, for you, on the water, out of the water, what was the favorite story aside from that championship moment?
Outside of all of the rowing, it was finally being able to give my teammates the snacks I talk about endlessly from back home that I can't get here. There were so many things. We were running around the supermarket. I was like, you have to try this one and this one.
Was the one that you liked the most and the one you disliked the most, Alana?
Oh.
There's no Vegemite in England, so that's good. But like, what stuck out? What was bad?
Oh, saurine. Is that how you say it? Saurine, it's like a bread, I think. Like a malt loaf. Yeah, I was really excited for it. Honestly, I didn't like it. It was not what I was expecting.
Like a malt loaf, Beatrice? Is that what you said?
Malt loaf, yes.
What's that even taste like?
It's
Not good,
hard to
clearly.
describe. It's like currants and berries in this sort of bread.
I think I'll take your word for it on that one. This is great. But as I mentioned too, really an awesome culmination of the entire season for Rutgers, starting with the top 10 rankings, second at Big Tens, eighth at NCAAs. Alana, you were in that varsity four boat that your coach was just talking about that raced for a national championship at NCAAs. Can you sort of encapsulate the whole season for me?
Yeah, it was honestly a really fun season. Just a lot of a lot of grit from the girls in the team the whole season. There was, we were training so hard and everyone was working so hard. I think there was five of us in that boat, but the whole team really, really helped us get where we got. And it really we really proved ourselves and showed that our team has depth, I think, and has a lot of power, even though there's people not here and not people that weren't able to represent at the NCAAs, that they helped us get where we got.
And Beatrice, for you, there's so much I know that goes into getting to the moments that you and your teammates were a part of at some of the championships here in the States, and then of course at Henley. Tell Rutgers fans what the training was like to be able to have such a big year.
It's definitely a long process. It takes a lot of hours and a lot of commitment, but we do it together and that's what makes it all worthwhile. So for me, my first year here, I got injured. And so I spent a lot of the time working with the physios and the PTs, coming back to being able to train to such a high level and endure so many hours. In the fall, it's often starting off with a lot of long mileage, low stroke rate. So we're just working on building our aerobic base and getting strong in the gym. And then coming into the spring, we'll move into more power focus and anaerobic threshold pieces just to get us ready and fired up to race the full 2000 meters.
And a lot of early mornings, I imagine, on the Raritan River.
Yes, every morning my alarm goes off 5:25 and we're up and ready to go.
Ooh, same for you, Elena, 5:25.
Yep, same time.
Wow. Wow. My goodness. Early, dark and early, that kind of hour. It's interesting, too, right? Because Rutgers rowing for years now, with all the success that has culminated with this past year, has been such an interesting sort of melting pot, right? You'll get athletes from all over the globe, you two included, and some from New Jersey, some of whom had never even rowed in high school and are coming to the sport for the first time. How about for the two of you, Elena from Australia and Beatrice from England? How'd you get into the sport and what landed you at Rutgers specifically? What made Rutgers home for you?
So for me, I knew I wanted to pursue my academics and my athletics to the highest level simultaneously, and I just couldn't find the right opportunity that would allow me the growth in both aspects back home in the UK. And I'd seen a few people older than me and my school going off to America, and so it prompted me to look into coming out here and what those different opportunities could look like. Coach Price ended up being one of the first teams I looked at following their success in NCAAs previously. And then Rutgers just ended up being the right place. It had the nutrition program, my major, that I was looking for. It had the rowing to the high level, and it had the resources to support me doing the best in both.
Elena, for you, go ahead. What took you from the capital of Australia to such an awesome part of the United States?
Honestly, same as Beatrice. I really wanted to pursue rowing, but also get a degree at university. But that wasn't as possible or supported in Australia as it is here. And so that's why I pursued college in America. I think Rutgers, I really just noticed and appreciated the support that they give their athletes. And it's really the little things I think that matter the most, just the resources that they provide and what's out there. And they always, I feel like Rutgers is doing the most for their athletes. So that's why I picked Rutgers.
There's a large team that supports us with everything we do, and being able to have different individuals who specialize in those different areas support you and have the foundation and knowledge to build on that is, I think, what makes us able to succeed on the stage. I mean, distinctively looking at Henley, throughout the summer we were working with S&C nutritionists, the coaches, and numerous different people, too many to count. And they're the ones who make this possible and allow us to balance everything that we do.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Beatrice, because I'm sure a lot of those people in the bigger Rutgers rowing community will be at Old Queens for what's about to happen this week, right? Rutgers rowing gets to ring the bells of Old Queens as an honor for all of the success you had throughout 2025. I know you guys aren't from New Jersey, but I'm sure you've heard a lot about it. Elena, I'll start with you. What do you think that will be like? One of the biggest honors you can get as a Scarlet Knight?
Yeah, it feels really special hearing about it and hearing about how much it means to New Jersey and Rutgers is has really like put into perspective what it really is that we're doing, and I think it's going to be really special and a really monumental moment for myself.
Beatrice?
I think being the first occasion our team has been able to do this really sets the precedent for what we're about and what we want to do. Last year we spoke a lot as a team led by Justin about climbing Mount Everest and planting our flag at each step. And we would work up these base camps, and there's always somewhere further we can push and more we can achieve. And I think last year was really just the start of that. We got into our momentum, and that's something now we can go forward and build on. And it's really special and exciting to be able to see the recognition of what we've done. But I think I'm also excited to see what we can now do with the momentum that we've built.
That's a great segue into my last thought, Beatrice. I'll give it to you first, and Elena, you get the last word. How does all of this that we've talked about now take you into what's next, the next season that's already begun?
It gives us the foundational building blocks, which I can't wait to build on. You know, we've got our team together here just over a month ago with the new freshmen who've come in and transfer students, and the team is building and it's going strong. We're putting in the hours. We had our first scrimmage last weekend, and we were able to go down to Philly and, you know, get the first insight as to what speed we can get out on the water this year. And it's incredibly exciting, and I can't wait to see how it progresses and the results we get in spring.
I think we've really set, like Beatrice said, a good foundation. And with the newcomers of the team, I think it really shows that what we're about and who we want to be, that's strong people, strong rowers and winners. And we want to get as far as we can and see how far we can get in the season, but that doesn't happen come easily. I think all the work that we put into last year and producing what we produced is just the beginning, and I think that it's really exciting, and it's just exciting to keep moving forward.
And we can't wait to see what's next. Elena, Beatrice, congrats on everything this past year and best of luck this coming year. We'll see you at Old Queens really soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So there is so much to be proud of with this Rutgers rowing team, both national and international acclaim, and no doubt truly deserving of ringing the bell that stands high atop Old Queens and all of the Rutgers campuses, the Old Queens Bell. It's a great week for Rutgers athletics, with homecoming nearly here, and an early welcome home to all of you joining us on the banks soon. Until next time, I'm Dom Savino. Thanks for listening to the Inside Rutgers Athletics Podcast.